Hi, welcome to StanLib's first weekly economic podcast for the year. I hope everybody had a good break and are excited about the prospects for the year ahead. Clearly, it's going to be challenging in terms of the huge number of elections that are scheduled to happen around the world this year, coupled with the fact that inflation is not yet fully under control, but there's a desire to see interest rates move lower during the course of the year. My name is Kevin Lings. I'm the chief economist within StanLib. And I guess the intention with these weekly podcasts is to unpack some of the key economic developments that have unfolded over the past week. And I think for this week at the start of the year, we need to focus on two topics. The first is what's happening with US inflation, US interest rates, and the US consumer. They're obviously all related. And when can we expect the US to start cutting interest rates? And similar, when we look at South Africa, what is happening to our consumers, retail sales, inflation, and what is the prospect for interest rates in the South African context? So let's start off with a discussion on the US economic situation. When I look at the performance of consumer activity in the US, gee, it's compellingly strong. The retail sales data for December came out last week. That beat expectations, actually convincingly beat expectations. If we look at the weekly jobless claims, that number has fallen below 200,000, which argues that the labor market is in good shape. If I look at the number of jobs being created in December, that was in excess of 200,000. Job openings, yes, they're coming down, but they remain exceptionally high. And so all of the main economic indicators are telling us that the consumer is in good shape, the consumer is willing to keep spending, and that consumer activity is relatively buoyant. Under those circumstances, very difficult for the US to go into a recession. It's also more difficult to bring inflation fully under control. The inflation data that came out in December did surprise on the upside, not alarmingly so, but clearly it was a little bit disappointing. And so the message coming back from all of this is that it's going to take a number of months to get inflation within sight of the 2% target. All of that suggests to us that the Federal Reserve is going to be cautious in the short term. They have signaled that they're at the top of the interest rate cycle. They signaled that at the end of last year, so they're not expecting to raise interest rates any further. But the market quickly interpreted that as meaning that they're going to cut interest rates very early in 2024. That doesn't seem to be the case. And so markets have had to reprice that expectation. And that expectation, I guess, has been shifted out to around about the middle of the year. And that seems more reasonable. It gives the Federal Reserve more time to bring inflation under control. It also then would argue that once you start cutting, you can continue to cut at every single meeting and that you can systematically move interest rates to an appropriate level. So I think we're still on track for interest rate cuts during the course of the year. I just think that one has to be cautious about when those interest rate cuts start and also how aggressive the Federal Reserve is going to be once they commence the interest rate cutting cycle. It also argues that the US economy has been able to engineer a soft landing, the so-called Goldilocks economy, where there's no particular pressure points. It's not as if the US economy is absolutely going into a recession. It remains a risk, but in order to have that recession, you've got to see a marked deterioration in the labor market, which we just not seen at this stage. So I would argue that that is actually well on track to achieve the types of outcomes that the Federal Reserve has been hoping for, and it does set them up for a steady monetary policy framework as we go towards the second half of this year and into 2025. And perhaps that's not a bad outcome in terms of global economic conditions and global financial market conditions. The second area of focus is obviously the state of the South African economy, in particular consumer activity and what that means for inflation and interest rates. The key data point is retail sales. Those numbers came out last week for the month of November, and they were disappointing. Yes, month on month, there was a small increase. But if I look at the year-on-year data, it was negative, indicating that Black Friday last year was just not as strong as it was in the prior year. And I think overall, a little bit disappointing. If I look at retail sales for 23 in its entirety, it's likely to have declined by about 1 to 1.5%. Now, that's not an absolute disaster, but it does indicate that the real retail sector is effectively in recession. And I think that reflects the state of the South African consumer. If we look at households, yeah, their income is declining now in real terms. In fact, in the first three quarters of the year, real disposable income was negative. And that means that inflation has exceeded wage increases. Yes, some areas have had wage increases higher than inflation, particularly those areas represented by strong unions. But outside of that, the bulk of the employment base has not been able to keep pace with the inflation rate. And so their real income has gone backwards. At some point, consumers were delving a little bit more into credit in order to supplement their disposable income. But banks have systematically tightened up credit conditions, lending standards have risen, and so banks have become a little bit more reluctant to simply grant all forms of credit. And so it's become more challenging for the consumer base. At the same time, the labor market, yes, it has in general surprised a bit on the upside, but it's not exactly all that buoyant, particularly in the formal sector. And so the combination of all of that suggests that at best we move in sideways to slightly lower. Now, in terms of what that means for inflation, it certainly helps to ease some of the pressure on inflation. But if I look at inflation more broadly, I would say that it's largely under control. The core inflation rate is pretty much at the midpoint of the inflation target. Yes, there are some pressure points. Food inflation is up at 10%. Clearly, that needs to come down. If we look at some of the administered prices, there are elevated inflation rates, particularly if we look at electricity, water, medical, education. Those numbers definitely elevated. But equally, there's some areas where inflation is fairly subdued. And so I think overall, the inflation environment is acceptable. And what does that mean for interest rates? Well, I think in the short term, the Reserve Bank is simply likely to keep interest rates unchanged. There's a meeting this week. I don't think they react to that. They'll continue to warn about some of the concerns they have. But I think by the time we get to May this year, there is an opportunity for the Reserve Bank to start to cut interest rates and then simply continue cutting rates every meeting by about 25 basis points. And I think effectively they can end up taking the repo rate from about 8.25% currently down to, let's say, 7 to 6.5%. That's a decent cut in interest rates, and that would certainly help the economy during the course of this year and in particular into 2025. Now, if that is accompanied by other reforms, let's say that we can put the electricity situation in a better shape and we can mostly eliminate load shedding, we can start to deal with some of the obstacles within Transnet and the rail system, then we have the ability to start to get the economy to perform better. Not immediately, but certainly second half of this year, 2025, we can look at an economic growth rate that starts to approach 2%. Now, 2% is not the most thrilling number, but it's better than where we've been. And so that's the kind of outlook that we're hoping to achieve. It doesn't mean that it's guaranteed. There's a few things that have to go right. And obviously, the election is critical to that. We don't know quite yet where the election is. We are assuming that it's in May. And we're also looking to the budget in February to understand what is the policy approach by the government on a couple of key issues, particularly around the funding of Transnet, around debt issuance, around national health insurance, and I guess just generally trying to stimulate the economy. So there are a lot of unknowns at this stage, but I would say overall, we're hopeful that we're pretty much at the worst point, or we were at the worst point of the economy during the course of last year, and that we have started to see some tentative signs of improvement. And once we get interest rate cuts starting, let's say, middle of the year, and we can back that up with a systematic easing of load shedding, the economy should have some sort of cyclical improvement that I think can be sustained over the next 18 to 24 months. So that's all from me from this week. Hope it makes some sense, and we'll catch up in a week's time. Cheers for now.